Chaos Considered, where we consider our weird, wacky, wonderful world and share the burden of knowledge. I'm Emily Roberts.
This is Claire Medici.
Yeah, I love that pause. You want to try again? Who are you? What are you doing here? Get out of my house.
My name is Claire Medici, and I cleaned my room.
I mean, that seems irrelevant, but nice to know.
It's important to me, and it has to be important to our many fans, one of which is my sister, so.
And she hasn't even listened yet.
Not yet, because I'm forbidding her from
it. We're forbidding anyone we know. If you're listening to this, one, thank you. B, why?
Two, are you my sister? Are you my sister? Because I will find out.
You're legally obligated. It's entrapment.
It's entrapment.
You don't tell
us. You have to tell me if you're a cop.
I gotta get you to stop crying. I've edited a couple of these episodes because I do the editing. And the number of times where I'm just like, oh man, cut that sniffle is truly astronomical.
Listen, but now today I'm running this fun game of like, is that a sniffle because she's crying? Or does she have like maybe a little bit of a cold? Like that's the dichotomy we're working with.
Wow. Lovely.
Lovely, delightful.
Doesn't make a difference for my workload. Nope. But nice. Go off, I guess. Can I hit you with something that my roommate and I talked about this week?
I feel like hit me is like the correct way to talk about this. There is a violence to it, so go for it. Yes.
We were talking about what kind of potatoes we would be. She's in the kitchen and she's like violently miming talk about potatoes. My question is, are you a waxy potato or are you a starchy potato?
I think starchy.
I'm starchy too. We are two starchy gals.
Right? I don't think that I'm... I don't...
If you cook me, I fall apart.
That's a big mood, right?
Right?
Hence the tears and the sniffles.
My roommate, she's waxy all the way.
That's authentic.
That's authentic and real.
Would die for her, and that's authentic.
It's so true.
She's just a hard-boiled potato, you know?
She's just a hard-boiled potato. Could you imagine just, like a noir, like, comic about a potato?
She's just a hard-boiled potato. Every day she wakes up, back on the grind. Where's just this
like,
comic?
Just, because the immediate expectation is if you're making a comic about a, like, a detective food, it should be an egg. It should be a hard-boiled egg. It's right there. But instead, it's a hard-boiled potato. And I think that makes it better.
Now, please break me down the look of this potato.
You know when, like, it has one giant weird gash and also it's also sprouting stuff?
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to have to cut half of this potato off in order to eat it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know that exact potato. Oh, that's a very good look.
That's a very good
is
look.
Is it wearing clothing and also does it have legs?
Just a hat.
Or arms? Just a hat.
Just a hat.
Does it have eyes?
Well, yeah. It's a potato.
Oh. Man, I really just kicked out
right
the legs
that
from
one.
Underneath myself. Yeah, wow.
You played your own trap card.
That was brutal. As I said it, I like heard it, you know?
You're like... They're like just like
it was just like watching a car crash.
Man, I'm glad. See, my roommate and I talk a lot of weird topics. Stop wiping your eye. There will be no crying on this episode. Okay, we were 3 for 3.
I'm trying not to sniffle. I can't correct it all.
Okay, this is our fourth episode. You cannot cry 100% of this episode. I will not allow it.
I don't think I would argue I haven't cried 100% of any episode. I just, when things get intense or when I know things are about to get intense, my body reacts in the form
of crying.
I'm holding
it against you. But another thing that my roommate and I have talked about that she specifically was like, you should talk about this. So here's, this intro's for Sophia. This one's for Sophia. Hey,
shout
sis.
Out.
Shout out.
Hey, sis.
How well do you think you would do on Fear Factor?
I've actually thought about this, and I don't...
You've thought about this?
No, I mean, haven't all of us thought about this? Like, the moment that Fear Factor came out, you're like, what's my limit? Like, what would I be able to do?
Here's the thing. I don't think Fear Factor would work in the year 2020. I'm going to hit you with why.
Why?
All young people, their fear is existentially based. Like, if you were like, hey, Emily, get into this pit of snakes, I'd be like, okay. Like, I would do it for a good sandwich. Like, I would get into a pit of snakes just for, like, a good sandwich.
Yeah, no, like, my standard for stuff is, like, really low. And as long as I knew I probably wasn't going to die doing it, I'd be like, all right, I guess I'm going to, like, let you pour, like, spiders all over my body.
Right? Like, they would have to change the show. Because if it was, like, you need to call your grandparents and, like, tell them something serious and deeply personal about yourself, I would be like, I'm out. I cannot do that. Or if it was like, I need you to walk up to a stranger and ask them a question, I'm out. I cannot do that. But if you're like, hey, we're going to put you in this very small box for an hour, I'm like, that's a nap.
That's a nap. Enclosed spaces, that's comfort.
That's comfort.
This tiny cell holds me. Thank you.
Thank you. These Thank you for this. Bus- are friends. These bugs are friends.
I think as long as it wasn't like a silverfish, because I have special beef with silverfishes. Actually, correction.
Yeah.
They're not actually silverfish. Whatever we call are not silverfish, but they're messed up.
House centipedes.
House centipedes. Yeah.
Yep.
Bad.
Yep.
Even centipedes. I don't, bugs bother me, centipedes bother me, but house centipedes make me want to,
I never know which side is their head.
You never know, do you?
You never know, because they just have so many things sticking out of them, and they're everywhere in St. Louis. I haven't found any in Minnesota, which is fantastic. St. Louis, I had to kill a couple on my bed. I was like, who are you? You don't pay rent. Get out of here. But I also had cockroaches in my house because I lived in a neighborhood with a lot of restaurants. So it was always just like random bugs, random giant spiders hunting the bugs. Like my house was Fear Factor. And
that was formative. Can I tell you, I recently had the worst experience of my life, easily, like the worst experience of my life.
You went to my house in St. Louis?
I didn't. No, I was in my own home.
Yeah.
I was in my own bathroom,
yeah.
Sitting on the toilet.
A place where you should be safe.
A place where I need, above all things, to be nurtured and respected. And I was, like, done with my business. I was all done with my business, ready to go about my day. And I was like, let me grab this toilette paper.
Uh-oh.
I pull the toilette paper, and who rolls over the top and peers over at me? The largest house centipede that I've ever seen.
Absolutely not.
It proceeds to fall on the floor by my feet.
Absolutely
I do a quick little scamper away. It's so big that it's slow. Like, it's nearly waddling.
Don't body shame this house centipede.
I mean, that means that he's survived so long. So, like, I guess respect the hustle, but I hate them so bad. And I was trapped in this tiny, tiny bathroom. And easily... who needs Fear Factor when I have my own house, you know?
Right, you're conditioned at this point.
I know how to handle it.
Claire, have you heard of, and I just want to preface this with, I'm sure I'm going to pronounce things incorrectly. Please do not come for me. I'm trying my best.
I respect you, and I respect the energy you bring.
Thank you. Have you heard of the Tanganyika laughter epidemic?
I'm already on the edge of my seat, and by that I mean my stomach is turning. No. Okay. The answer is no.
Okay. Is there a but there? Because you felt like, it felt like you were about to say something.
But that's, whatever's about to go down, I feel like is going to be challenging.
Okay. So I want to start this off with, because my first bullet is, first of all, so I have to respect past Emily on this one. Humor scholars are a thing, and I greatly enjoyed that.
Oh, that's very good. Humor scholars. Do you humor think they're funny? Scholars. Do you think they're funny, though?
As someone who read an academic paper that was humor academia literature, no.
Can I tell you that's exactly what I wanted the answer to be? I would accept literally nothing else.
Nothing in academia is funny unless it's one academic dragging another academic for filth.
Oh, which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious. As someone who had to write a lot of historiographies, it's the best, especially when someone agrees with you.
Yes.
So, second, there were very few sources on this outside of vague listicles. So work with me here. I had to dig. So I went and just got into those academic articles while I was on the train home. So
good for you.
You can imagine. So
look at her and her peer-reviewed sources. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Work.
She went to college.
I went to college. Oof. Why? Anyway, that's wild. We're not going to talk about college.
Ugh. No. No, no, no.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay. I'm back.
She's back. She went through something. Now she's back.
So this took place in 1962 in Tanganyika, which is in modern-day Tanzania, which is in East Africa, because we aren't about to talk vaguely about an entire continent. So
love
that's
that.
Very specifically where this happened.
Okay.
So reportedly, on January 30th, in Kashasha boarding school, three girls began laughing uncontrollably. So okay. Symptoms also included crying, fainting, and feelings of persecution. And the laughter spread to over half the girls in the school. So it was about, I believe, 90-something girls were laughing, crying, fainting, being agitated, just off and on uncontrollably. So when we say laughter epidemic, it's not like they were laughing continuously. It was just bouts of uncontrollable laughter.
Okay.
And it infected over half of the students in this school.
Okay.
Claire, you're looking challenged by this.
I'm looking challenged. It does feel like it does. That reminds me of our high school experience. Like that feels...
It feels right.
That feels right? That level of chaos?
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm sure that's not the turn that this is taking, right?
Right. So this was a boarding school, right? It was a girls' boarding school. So it was shut down from March until May because of this laughter epidemic.
From March till May. Wow.
Until May. And then again at the end of June. So,
it's everybody's kind of like steady laughing, except it's not just when they're all together.
No, it's like, so they get sent home.
Yeah.
And when they go home to their families and villages, they start infecting people there.
What?
Right. So it ends up affecting about 1,000 people.
Okay.
Mostly children and young people.
Okay.
So if you can imagine, about 1,000 people were affected by this laughter epidemic that wasn't just laughter. It was also crying. It was fainting. I think they also said like rashes, feelings of persecution, just general agitation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think caused it, Claire?
I don't know. It'd be interesting because like I have no idea. And I have literally, because like, is it like a psychological thing, like of like you just can't once you start. It seems like that can't be right. So is it like this is something in the water, or like this is something in the whatever?
All right, I'm gonna tell you, it was mass hysteria.
Yo.
Or more officially, mass psychogenic illness.
Okay. Okay. Can you break me? So, you're a smart cookie. Can you break down what you just said, please?
I will break it down for you. So when a group of people are in a very stressful situation, a trigger in this case, laughter, can spread among the population.
Yeah.
So these girls were in a really stressful environment, not just because they were at school, because school is inherently stressful, but also true, because they were living in a country that was undergoing a lot of political change, in turmoil. And basically, when you do this, right, mass hysteria, it's your body's way of saying, like, something is wrong here. And, like, when you have no other way to express it, you just start, like, having uncontrollable, like, not just laughter, because there are literally hundreds of cases of mass psychogenic illness.
Yeah,
including some that happened concurrently with the Tanganyika laughter epidemic in the same part of Africa. There was one where people had the impulse to just run. So these groups of people, their mass hysteria manifested in they were just running until they like literally like collapsed, and then they and like they were agitated and they had to like run.
Yeah.
And there's also ones where you might feel sick and you know, it starts with one person being like, oh, I don't feel well, or coughing, and then everyone's coughing. And it's because the big thing here is it's not just like one person laughing hysterically, right? It's 1,000 people all becoming infected with this mass psychogenic illness, right? So it is just a mental illness, but it's like a really weird thing where your brain goes like, something isn't right, and I don't know how to express the stress, so I'm just gonna like create symptoms. And because it can actually like it can make you physically sick, even if there's nothing in the water or like there's no actual, you know, viruses or something. The brain's just a really powerful thing, and group thought is just a really powerful thing, and it kind of messes me up sometimes to think about it, just like how strong the brain has to be in order for 1,000 people over the course of nearly 2 years. Like, this was a long
wow, that was a really crazy week. That
no,
was very
I mean,
surreal.
The school itself was closed for at least 2 months, open for another month, but the problem was still there, and it kept happening. So this is an extremely long, like, illness.
That sucks. Well, because, like, if that's the case, the amount of anxiety and stress that, like, this entire population had to be under must have been unreal.
So, yeah, it's mostly affects young people and women, so a lot of marginalized groups are people that it would affect. So the fact that it started in a girls' boarding school really isn't all that surprising. But the messed up really part about this is the way like this story was reported. So because it's laughter, and we all kind of see laughter as a super positive thing. Like, the humor scholar I was reading about, like, consistently, it's much better in, like, if you look at the recent stuff that's been posted, because the scholar was out here being like, hey, guys, this ain't cool. But a lot of people were painting it as, like, a positive or, like, a funny thing. Like, oh, like, this contagious laughter, and it was so joyful. And it's like, no, it's not. Like, this is really just a mental illness and, like, a literal physical cry for help. It's not.
This isn't just, like, a quirky live, laugh, love moment of, like, we're all going through a hard time, but laughter united us. It's like, actually, that's not what this is, bruh.
Yeah, and there's, like, you know, the idea that like laughter is contagious, right? And this is like used this was like used anecdotally to be like laughter is contagious, and it wasn't the fact that they were laughing that it spread to all these people. It was just mass hysteria because these people were living in a situation where they were so stressed, and like the fact that over 1,000 people experienced it really sheds light on the reality of the 1960s Tanzania and yeah. the effects of colonialism and post-colonialism on Africa as a whole. And I could really go on a rant about how Europe screwed over all of their African colonies when they left.
For sure.
But
oh, for sure.
For the sake of brevity, I won't. But yeah. I did go a little bit into the history of Tanzania. And, for example, they literally left. The British were like, okay, peace, in 1961. And then they had a bunch of different revolutionary governments. But yes, for the sake of brevity, just know that when a lot of these African countries were like, we want our independence, a lot of the European countries were like, okay, we're going to cut you off without any help or assistance. And sometimes they actually like destroyed infrastructure. Because I'd only heard of this like used very like, because I'd heard of it, but I didn't really know what it was. I knew that it was a big, like, I knew it was a laughter epidemic, you know, it's in the name, but finding actual information on it was super difficult, in part because it wasn't well documented at the time, and also because I don't think people want to dig into this topic, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, when you actually think about it and you actually think about all of these cases of, mass hysteria in Africa, it really just points to, like, the ways in which life was difficult and stressful for these people in this time period. So
yeah, and I feel like stressful is such a gentle way of
Is such a gentle way of saying it. So stressful that people were laughing uncontrollably for months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're having fits of crying and laughing and fainting and just general agitation. Like, I couldn't imagine living like that.
No.
No. It's, like, incredibly upsetting to think about.
It is incredibly. And it's also, like, the kind of fear and frustration that you would experience when you're not able to control yourself. Like, the idea of, like, uncontrollable laughter is, like, uncontrollable laughter is funny when you're having a sleepover with three friends and you do that for approx 3 minutes.
And like, I can only imagine too, because we used to like start with schoolgirls. So I can only imagine the extra layer of when it first happened of like, oh, these kids are being disruptive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or disrespectful, or...
Because this is something that literally could have happened in our high school. Like, normally we try to be very, like, funny and comedy-focused, but we're going to get real for a second here on this podcast.
All right.
Just for, like, a hot second. But this is something that could have happened at our high school, because we went to a private high school that was incredibly academically focused, to the point where it was, like, you must bare minimum get a B, if not an A. A B was a bad thing in our school. And I took like 6 AP classes my senior year. Oof. Just because there was so much pressure in our school. Like something like this could have happened just because, you know, not to say that our lives were similar in any way to the amount of systematic stress and systematic, you know, unrest that these people in Tanzania experienced.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that it happened, like, an all-girls school really, like, hit me as someone who went to a highly stressful all-girls school.
Yeah, you're, like, on this one level, it doesn't seem impossible seeing that.
No, and it happens in like American schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a school in New York I was reading that like a bunch of girls had facial tics that were spreading as a form of mass psychogenic. Yeah.
Wow.
So it literally just, I don't know how it works. I'm going to level with everyone. I don't know how it works. I read a lot about it.
Not an expert. Yes.
I'm not an expert, but the idea that like, it's like one person has one uncontrollable behavior and another human being sees that and their brain goes, I also am going to do that behavior.
Yeah.
It's like really, like if you think about it, it's like really interesting in terms of like ways that people show like solidarity, like like, we're highly social creatures.
Yeah.
So it's like even like subconsciously when you're aligning yourself within a group.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing is that I don't know anything about this. And it just makes you wonder of like, okay, is the laughter thing like your body's like need to find a way to release this stress and then just being caught in this like loop? Is it like, cause you think about it like in comparison with like the running side of things, like both things are something that like
people who feel like they're physically sick, like people who think that they've, you know, who are coughing uncontrollably, or people who think yeah. that they have upset stomachs, or people who have facial tics, like the spectrum, like, or, gosh, I think there was one like old, like medieval Europe where people were dancing like wow, until they yeah. collapsed, and then they would yeah. get back up and dance again. So like it manifests its way like in all sorts of different ways, which is also wild to me that there's just a wide spectrum of behaviors that people get caught in.
I think it's interesting the ways that the body will attempt to protect us. And even oh, yeah. like in this case, like your brain is trying to, I don't know about this, but I appreciate this idea of like, okay, what is the reason why my brain thinks this is the appropriate way to fix this situation? What is the angle that my brain's working right now? Because a lot of the time, not all the time, but some of the times it's like, oh, it has a legitimate reason why it thinks that's the correct way to go about doing things. Cause it's thinking that it's going to relieve this stress or this anxiety, or this is a fight or flight thing or whatever. And it's just manifesting in a very odd, peculiar way. I just think it's very interesting to get to the bottom of like, hey, brain, how did you get from point A to point B there? Because it seems like you made a leap.
And this is just like, you know, person one. Then you add, my brain saw someone else behaving in an extremely strange way and decided, oh yeah, I want me some of that.
Your brain is like, maybe that'll help. Maybe, I don't know.
You know, we haven't tried that yet, sis.
We haven't tried that yet. Might as well try that. See that that
goes. My brain around. Scrounging for serotonin.
looking under rocks.
Is this it?
Is this it? Could this possibly be it?
My story, I feel like, wasn't as viscerally upsetting as some stories I've told in the past. But it's kind of yeah. that slow, like, upsetting of just like,
Well, it's that systematic oppression, you know, upsetting. Which is, like, at that level that you reach, not necessarily fun.
And then it's still, like, kind of, like, messed up because now it's just turned into, like, a fun, you know,
anecdote. Go
yeah
away.
It's kind of like a fun little anecdote for white people to throw around, but
antidote. I was hoping if I said it confidently enough, I hope that
I knew
like,
where
I
you were at.
I wanted to manifest.
I knew where you were at. Your human brain was like, listen, we can make this work.
My human brain said, maybe if you just say it confidently, it will be fine. It'll
I was
be okay.
an English major, Claire. It's never gonna be okay if you try. That's right, folks. Place. I was a double major because that overachieving high school pressured me into being not one but two majors.
Uh oh.
I also got a minor. Uh oh. I don't know how to relax. I looked over and my roommate just nodded at me. Like, yeah.
Checks out.
She's probably not listening, but she was like, yeah, you don't know how to relax, sis. All right.
She says, can verify.
Sophia verified. So, what's up with you today, Claire? What's up with you? How you doing?
Oh,
what are we
going to
talk about? Let's lift this mood up. Let's lift this mood up. Up and away.
Can I tell you, this is going to be such a hard pivot from the place.
All right, pivot me.
There's no appropriate segue.
No.
There's no natural next step. This entire episode has been a trap, because like, how can I move forward from deeply upsetting systematic oppression?
And it's a trap inherently too, because we're both white Americans. So it's like, we can talk about this all we want, but we are and will be probably a part of the problem. So always. Sorry, fam.
Yes. Sorry, fam.
Sorry, fam.
So, all right. Really trying to scrounge up enough serotonin to go into this bit.
Ooh, baby, okay. If you had two serotonin to rub together.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's get into this. So,
I'm ready.
I'm going to give you a little bit of background on me, which is, I'm not a gamer. I'm not in the gaming culture per se.
Do you play games?
I don't. I tend not to play games for the most part. There's like maybe two or three exceptions.
Have you ever finished a game?
Absolutely. I finished a Pokemon game on my 2DS.
Wow, Claire, we have so much in common. I've also never finished any other game
except for a Pokemon game.
Well, I finished almost all the Pokemon games. And Fire Emblem! Thank you, Sophia. I finished Fire Emblem this summer.
I'm so proud of you. Look at you. I can't relate.
The difference is that you play like 4 games. I've played like 25 and finished none of them.
But you, like, you're out here, like, playing, you know? Like, you're out here actively on that grind.
When a video game comes up to me and is like, hey, we have a quest line. I'm like, I don't know about that. And it's like, you can also collect shards. I'm like, oh, yeah, baby. I'm going to collect shards for the next year until I forget how to play this game.
The inner scavenger in you.
I'm a goblin person.
You're a goblin person. You're like, give me your shiny gems.
I was playing Red Dead Redemption, and yes. I literally was unable. I really enjoy that game, but I spent too much time just running around shooting random birds in the sky because I wanted to collect all the birds. I am an obsessive person by nature. The fact that there's any sort of collecting in any of these games means that
that's your hook, baby.
I haven't finished. I've played so many games. This is how conversations with people go. I'm like, hey, do you like video games? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, wow, I like video games too. And they're like, oh, really? What video games do you like? And I'm like, oh, you know, I like Skyrim and Fallout. And they're like, oh, man, I love this part. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. And then I have to admit to them that I play 2 hours of a video game, and then I play Overwatch for 6 months.
I appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability. Appreciate that a lot.
I just took over your thing, but I had to get this off my chest.
No. That's
because
what this is
I get
for.
Razzed. People get genuinely upset by the fact that I just play. I've played so many video games, and I have finished next to none.
Listen, that's so many hours of content. That's a lot to commit to. And I respect you because, listen, in this day and age, you know what we need more than ever?
More content.
Boundaries.
I don't know what boundaries are.
No, you do, because you're establishing them with these video games that say, give me all your time. And you say, no, you know what I do? Do what I do want? That weird shiny orb. And I'm going to find it. I'm going to get it. And I'm going to kill this deer. I'm going to kill Bambi.
I'm going to kill Bambi because I haven't collected this Bambi yet.
Listen, and I'm going to catch a Pokemon because, you know, I need them.
I love Pokemon. See, Pokemon's a game I can finish because it's all about just collecting. I'm like, yeah, I can do that.
It's geared for you. It's specifically they saw you and they said, it's for you, baby.
Asterisk. I've finished my latest Pokemon game for like at least a month now, and there is like an epilogue that you have to do that's like the ending part 2. Have not done it yet. Did
what
start
is
it
ending part feud.
Well, I gotta do it. It's like an extra story thing, so you can get the legendary. And I was like, I'll get the legendary later. I'm gonna hatch shiny Pokemon.
Oh, but you do need that legendary, though.
I do need to get the legendary, though, because I do need to complete my Pokédex so that I can get the shiny charm so that I can hatch shiny Pokemon more easily. But instead of getting all the Pokemon to get the shiny charm to get the shiny Pokemon more easily, I was like, I'll just hatch shiny eggs and we'll just see what happens. I got 2 shiny Pokemon, so, like, Pokemon can suck my nuts. What were you going to talk about? I blacked out for a second there.
No, you blacked out because you needed to unpack some guilt, some like self-resentment, the resentment of others, and I appreciate your bravery.
And theoretically, the odds should be like a 1 in 1,000, but I found both. I found my first shiny in the first 100, and I found the second shiny in like the first 150. So like, come at me.
Come at you.
Come at me, Nintendo.
I will come at you. So I'm not a gamer.
Okay.
Before I was.
I'm so excited.
So before we were derailed.
Yeah, you're not a gamer.
I'm not a gamer, okay, and I'm totally transparent with that. I have never found the right way to hack into the gaming community, and that is in part because I was raised by parents who said, "Excuse me, I'm not going to be paying you that money. Excuse me, I think not."
See, Timothy, my father, Timothy.
Timothy
also has a video game addiction. So he, when I grew up, I watched him play video games. And so the Xbox I have is literally like, he just had 2 Xboxes. And he's like, you want one? And I was like, yes. And so
Timothy, yeah.
Most of the games I have are just my dad's old games.
No. I was talking to my dad. This is not relevant, but I was talking to my dad about D&D because I was like, let me just share with you my interests. My sister was like, what if we did like a family D&D? Wouldn't that be great? And I was like, yeah, that'd be fun. Father dearest said, papa, as you will, said, I don't need just, He says, I don't know.
Is that what papa sounds like?
That's exactly what my papa sounds like. My pop said, I don't need to spend that much effort and that much time figuring out a game to have a good time. And I said, excuse me? So that's the energy that he brings.
He's here for a good time, not a long time.
He's not willing to invest, both monetarily and also time or energy into that. So never gamed. That being said, you know what has pulled through for me in a way that no game ever has?
What?
The Chrome T-Rex jumping game.
Are we talking about the Chrome T-Rex jumping game right now? Are we legitimately talking? I just had to talk about systematic oppression in Africa, and we're talking about the Chrome dinosaur jumping game?
I told you there was no way for this to be a transition that worked. Or made sense, or was respectful, or totally accurate to what we're trying to set the tone for today. I said, this is the thing, is that you went deeper, because we did like the surface level dive into the topic. You went deeper, and I was like, surely we're going to stop there, because I have to talk about my jumpy T-Rex friend. And then you said, can I just go into the mines? And I said, I guess, but let me be a canary. Because
I took one history of Africa class, and now I'm going off.
I was the canary in the coal mine, and my bit died. Me and my bit died in the mine. And
oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh,
we're
man,
gonna
here I am.
You're going to have to send your widow a note.
Here I am. Send my widow a note.
A note and $5 saying, sorry, fam.
Sorry, bud. Sorry, bud. You didn't make it out this time.
Are you married to the T-Rex jumping game?
I am. I'm so glad you asked.
So happy for you too.
That's the love. We have had a long and happy relationship. My Wi-Fi is not always super hot, okay? And sometimes you go places and you're anxious and you don't really know how to ask the like coffee shop people, like, hey, what's your Wi-Fi? So sometimes you have to build up some courage. And you know who's there for you when you're afraid and when you're alone? The T-Rex. The jumpy T-Rex.
Wow.
So, what I want to talk to you about is my jumpy T-Rex friend. I'm sure everybody knows who I'm talking about, but I will just, like, lay it out there. So, my dear friend, Chrome.
I'm sorry. Oh, I know. God, that sniff was so thick. That sniff was so thick. I'm keeping it in. That was a thick sniff. You don't know what the T-Rex jumping game is, like, congratulations on your good internet. Now you've outed yourself as a member of the bourgeoisie.
And we're going to come and stone you to death. God. Stone you in the streets till death.
Till death. If you don't know.
Because you don't know my man's, my love of my life, the T-Rex man. So essentially, it's a T-Rex game that came out in 2014.
Why don't you just get all your sniffs out now, Claire? Blow your nose. Christ.
Wait, I actually have it. Wait, no, shut up. I'm going to click it up. All you need to know about my man is that he is like a little Easter egg Chrome game that when your Wi-Fi cuts out, you see this beautiful little T-Rex man. And the controls for it are so simple. They're so simple. All you do is you click the little space bar to jump over your little cacti and your pterodactyls. And then if you need to duck under a pterodactyl or something of that nature, all you have to do is press the little like down arrow button and then you duck down. And it shouldn't be as fun and delightful as it is, but it's like the best. And there's like a dark mode on it where like if you play it long enough, it like goes into nighttime and like that's challenging because all of a sudden you're like having to pay back attention again and then it'll be normal again and you're just pressing your little space bar and your little down button and then it goes back to the light and that's jarring again. And normally when it turns back to light, that's when I die again. And that's hard. But I love my little pixelated T-Rex man and I would die for him. I would die on the cross till death for him. He's very important to me.
Claire, you know you have to fill an entire segment.
I know. Well, I know technically most of the bit was you talking about your gaming experience, which can I tell you, I did calculate time.
You counted on me blacking out to talk about how I feel about video games so that you could slap together this haphazard freaking shanty town of a segment.
I have known you too long to not.
I fell for it. You fell for it. Because I love talking about video games.
Hook, line, and sinker. I'm not going to pretend like I have tons of stuff to talk about. It is a pretty straightforward game. It was created in 2014 by my dear friend, Edward Jung, and Sebastian Gabriel, and Alan Bettles. And so I didn't really think about it, but the whole concept was based around the idea of like, hey, when your Wi-Fi is down, it's like you're going back down to, like, the prehistoric age. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so witty. That's so witty that you have the, like, T-Rex. And it's, like, prehistoric age. And, like, that's so deep and powerful.
I had to turn my camera on so you could see my face for this entire thing. Yeah, tell me more about how witty this T-Rex game is, Claire. I love this. This is great content.
This T-Rex has been my support system through depression, through everything, through like bad family situations, through bad Wi-Fi situations. It's been there through it all. Also, did you know that like I thought that there was like a way to win the game?
No, of course there's not a way to win the game.
Well, there was a way, like I thought there was like an end to it, but they set the end like to be like, it's like a timed thing, right?
Yeah,
they set the end to be for like, it maxes out at like 17 million years, which was approximately the length of the like existence of the T-Rex, which I thought was fun.
So in order to get to the end of the game, you would have to play the game for 17 million years.
Yes, which is a little bit of a downer.
Wow, Claire, you better get on it. You better just stop podcasting because you've got something more important to do.
I'm never not playing that game. I was looking at, like, the websites, and apparently, like, you could do, like, different little, like, mods where it's, like, I don't know anything about mods because I find the concept confusing, but you just break the game a little bit, I think.
A mod is, like, yeah, you're putting extra stuff in.
Yeah. You can essentially do it where, like, hitting a cactus or like running into a pterodactyl won't kill you, but at that point, like, are you even living? What's the point
of the game then? You're just running.
There's nothing there. And then to celebrate, it's like, and you're a Chrome's 10-year anniversary, they had a time where it had like a little T-Rex hat and it was just precious and I loved it very much. And I wanted to bring to you something that was so simple, so small, that sparked so much joy. And yes, I did. I obviously banked on you going off on the wildest tangent. Obviously. Why would I do anything else?
I carry this podcast on my back. I truly do. This podcast is the cross that I bear.
Yes. Through the darkness. Listen. Listen, man. And the thing is that I'm not alone in my love for it. My guy.
Is there like a whole like Facebook group that's just like, we love that funky little T-Rex? I don't know about a
Facebook group, but like 270 million people be playing it every month, right? Ain't nobody surprised about it.
I mean, that's more people than listen to our podcast by far.
That's right? So who are we? Who are we to be like, oh, that's just them? That game is there for me. Nothing else is. I'm going to be honest. I get disappointed when my internet comes back on. And that's not a goof. That's just true. That's like, those are car facts.
I feel like the longer I let you just talk about this, the more, the sadder it gets.
Why is it sad? I'm right. Why are you booing me?
You're like, man, the greatest joy I've ever felt in my life is when I played this game that I can never hope to finish. Honestly, those same.
I just love it, though. There's no expectation. There's no expectation to it.
Honestly, most games, too much pressure.
Too much pressure. This is the one game that's like, listen, you're never going to figure, like, you're never going to, like, finish it. You're never going to get particularly, like, amazing at it. I mean, like, there's nothing to get amazing at, so it's not that big of an accomplishment. There's no bragging. There's no ranking. It's more accessible. It's the most accessible M to the gaming community that I've ever found.
Consider, like, an esports. Like, an esports.
Bro, I'm in it.
Esports, but it's the T-Rex from Google Chrome.
Bro, I'm first in line.
You're first in. You are the top competitor.
I'm the top competitor. And that's probably inaccurate because not even that good at it. But that being said,
the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. Just like the open honesty and defeat in your voice. You're like, I love it, but you know, if you love him, gotta set him free. And I'm like, what is happening?
I didn't join onto this podcast just to like,
get shamed?
Lie to the people.
Oh,
no, okay. I did go onto this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was very really clear shame. That I was going to shame you.
No, that was from the get-go. I knew that, and I wasn't surprised. But, I would, though, pay, like, stupid money to see that. I'd pay dumb money to see people play that. That was most of my high school. Most of my high school was sitting in a class with a computer watching other people play games silently.
Listen, I was the queen of Tetris. I got the highest score in Tetris. And then I stopped playing because I was like, I've done it. And my high school, Real Snakes, deleted. Yes, I remember 2024. That was also a huge thing. But Tetris
once
came
I got
after.
2024, I said, I'm done. People are like, you can go further and it's more difficult. And I said, don't care for that.
See, Tetris was, like, actually, like, it ramps up the challenging. And it was a huge thing at our school to play Tetris, like, free Tetris online. Because they gave us computers.
It was everywhere. Yeah. And that was on them.
That was on them. They knew
we were not
what they did.
Paying attention in class. Are you kidding me?
I read comic books in class. I also apparently used the most internet the first year that they gave people computers. I got cornered by my teacher who was like, hey, Emily, we have to talk to you. And I'm like, uh-oh. And they're like, you know, we can see who uses the most internet. And I was like, uh-oh. Like, it's your computer. I'm like, uh-oh.
The fact that they had the audacity, and I know who it was, the fact that they got the audacity to, like, stalk you down and be like, do you need help?
Are you okay?
Do you want to talk about it?
You spend more time on the internet than you do sleeping. And I'm like, good.
Ooh. Good. You're like, that's the goal. That's what I try to do.
Listen, I found this website called conversationstartersworld.com, and this is apparently all of the would you rather questions you would ever need, which is a bold assumption, but I thought
bold to assume I won't run through of this in the month.
I thought
in a month it'll be done with.
I thought this particular question was really great for our podcast. It's very our podcast. So, Claire, okay. Would you rather know all the mysteries of the universe or know every outcome of every choice you make? Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. This one's bad. Both options are bad.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Okay. Uh-oh. Okay, let me... No, give me a minute, at least, like, 2 seconds to think about it. Okay. I am going to say... I would like to know the mysteries of the universe. And I know that's bold because as we've established, the universe
is terrible. Very,
very bad, quite scary, and I don't like it at all, even a little bit.
But it's impersonal.
Because on the other hand, having to know like time and time again, like, oh, guess what? You made the wrong choice there, bud. You tried to say this line because that was supposed to be the perfect line, but you forgot the in the sentence. And that drastically changed the course of your entire life. And you can't fix that. Like, I already second-guessed myself enough.
But what if it's one of the situations where it's like, it helps your anxiety because you know now, like, all of these situations where you're like, oh, man, I said that dumb thing. It's like, oh, but then actually the ending ended up being that person forgot about it and doesn't care. Seems unlikely.
No, that's not how that would.
No, work. It would be like.
You think that would cure your anxiety?
No, it would not. No, it would not. I would go with the universe thing too, man. I would rather know about those funky ocean worms than have to think about my own actions.
Listen, because like the idea that like okay. Because every action that, not every action, but most actions of things we say have, like, ripple out effects that, like, affect the way that we think. Or our like, the people in our lives think. Or our choices that we make have, like,
but if you know all the mysteries of the universe, do you also then know how your choices have affected other people?
I'm assuming not, because I feel like...
That then defeats like the question.
The question itself is banking on the difference between the two.
Yeah.
I think if we were creating the question, I would be like, I feel like there's an overlap. I would agree. But I feel like the question itself, as it stands, is baking on the fact that there's not an overlap.
Yeah, I agree. Man, that's hard, though. Maybe it's like, this is how you diagnose people with anxiety. You just ask this question.
This is their new test.
Though I think there's some people who generally want to know all the secrets of the universe. And are you okay?
I think they want to know all the secrets of the universe.
But I think my tiny human brain would just explode and I would be a crazy person and you would have I'd be in a house, right?
Either way, you turn into
a vegetable. I would break. My brain would break. My brain is not holding together right now at the level of knowledge that me, Emily, a normal human being has. If I had all of the knowledge in the world, my brain would break. My brain would break. I would break.
Yeah, no brain could handle it, but mine less so than other. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Consider this, though.
You're saying consider this. Oof.
Oh.
How
the turntables. My brain is a hellscape, and it, like, I am constantly losing memories to its fires, and maybe... Just maybe if I knew the secrets of the universe, like with most things, I would just forget it.
Here's another thing I want you to consider. If you know the outcome of every choice you make, you'll never lose your keys again. You're like, oh yeah, I chose to put them there.
It depends. Well, it depends on like how that works, though, right? Like,
is it like every action that you do? Is it like broader, bigger choices? I think that's what makes the difference. Because if it's just like, oh, I chose to get up 2 minutes later today, and I just know how that affects things, that's a lot. That's too much. But if it's like, oh, I know what would have happened if I chose to go to this college over that college.
See, that's different. That's helpful.
That's helpful.
That's helpful. I'm thinking of the crushing reality of like when you breathe, the effect that has on the universe. Yeah. Like that's what
That no. Like I know it does. And it's like I think it's one of those things where it's like I don't want to know how rich and meaningful every person I see like their that their lives are, because I know they have rich and meaningful lives. But if I spend even 1 second thinking about how the fact that I took the bus with them today might impact their life, I'm going to explode.
Yeah, full explosion. Yeah.
But I feel like that's the same thing about like the universe. I think it would break our brains. I think it would break our brains to know how the universe works. There are like more stars in the galaxy, in the universe, in like the universe, and there are like, you know, specks of sand on Earth. Like I can't know.
And that hurts my brain.
I can't know what's going on all of those different planets all the time.
That would be bad.
That'd be bad. My brain would break. I have a tiny human brain, and it's not working well at being a human brain.
She's not functioning great, and she doesn't have to deal with the strife that is the secrets of the universe or the complexities of our everyday human interactions.
Like, man, I agonize over, like, what, you know, which, like, how to, I'm just... It's hard.
You're agonizing over this.
I don't know what words to use. I don't know how to reduce my carbon footprint. Okay, I'm baby. I am baby.
Baby, I'm doing my best.
Please be nice to me. We need to wrap this up. I need to go to bed.
Oh, it's in the nighttime for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I feel like this has been an exhausting episode. Could I just say that first and foremost?
Oh, yeah.
If you enjoyed the journey that you've been on, please like and subscribe and do all that sort of things. We're working on getting onto iTunes and Spotify. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, we will be on there, but we are for sure anywhere else that you enjoy podcasts, especially SoundCloud or Podbean. We are currently on there. We also have a website, chaosconsidered.com. You can send us, if you have any topic suggestions for either Claire or I, just, you know, pop Emily or Claire into the title. I mean, Claire will do a segment on honestly anything.
Literally, don't tempt me with a good time. If it's something that sparks joy for me, it will come up.
It will come up, which we need that. So send that to chaosconsidered@gmail.com. What do you got, Claire?
Nothing much. Follow us on Instagram and,
Twitter
and Twitter at Chaos Considered. And I'm going to be posting some stuff. So like, watch out, dudes.
Watch out. We're going to come get you.
And you won't be ready.
You won't be ready. We are not.
And neither will I.
Yeah, we're not ready either, man. Also, thank you to your sister for the wonderful artwork we have.
Oh, yeah. And also, I told my sister that we would be thanking her at the end of each episode. Or not each episode, but most episodes. We try. And she was like, no, you're not. And I was like, yeah, I am, dude. Because the artwork is the bomb. And we, yes.
It's the most professional part of this podcast.
Easily. Easily. Because is my audio the most professional part of this? No.
Absolutely not.
Is my T-Rex the most professional part of it? No. Is my snot sniffles the most, you know, professional part of this? No, definitely
but
not.
You didn't really cry today, which is, I feel like...
I teared up at the beginning because of the fear.
Get that dude. Give it to me.